is a life-changing message from the Royal House Chapel International, Ahifi.
How I made it. Number one, divorce was not an option for me. Number one, divorce was not an option for me. For you, divorce is not an option. When I was entering into marriage, what I did was I bought a one-way ticket. I didn't buy a two-way ticket. Two-way ticket means I can get the ticket, travel to UK or to America, and then come back. But one-way ticket means that once I travel to UK or I travel to America, there's no coming back. So I bought a one-way ticket and said to myself, in this journey that I am undertaking, I am not coming back. It's a journey of no return. Immediately I left my parents' home. I said to myself, I am never returning back into this home. In other words, I'm not returning to stay. I gave my bedroom out. I gave my bed out. I gave my wardrobe out. Now, when I visit my parents' home, I visit as a guest. And that is what I am doing for all my children. Once you leave, you don't have a bedroom in my house again. When you come to my house, you come as a guest. Sister was the first person to get married. Immediately, she moved out of the house. Papa moved into her bedroom. Immediately, Papa moved out of the room. Baby now moved into the room. Sister asked me one day, so, Mommy, if anything should happen and I'm coming back, would you take me? I said, you don't belong here any longer. When we are doing homecoming, then you can come with your children. But you are not coming to stay. You don't have a place here. Is everybody listening to me? Once in your mind, you tell yourself, if I go and things don't work out, my parents' home is there. You have missed the mark. And because you know there's nowhere else to go, it doesn't matter the problems that come into your marriage, you will solve it. And take this one from me. As for the crisis, it will come. Are you listening to me? The crisis will come, but there is no problem that is unsolvable. Tell somebody sitting by you, there's no problem that is unsolvable. So in other words, anything that happens in your relationship, in your marriage, can be solved. That is why I didn't choose your man for you. Neither did I choose your woman for you. You came to me and introduced your partner to me. So because you came to introduce your partner to me, you can't come back to me and tell me, Mama Rita, I made a mistake. Stay in your mistake and work it out. Are you clapping or doing something like clapping? Number two, keep the romance. I always tell people, I didn't court. When my husband came to propose to me, there was nothing like courtship. You people, you are courting. I didn't court. Why? Because in our days, scripture union was so much inside of us. There was nothing like going to sit in a place to eat. There was nothing like going to watch films. We didn't have things like that. But in your days, you have it. A lot of you are going out now. The things you are doing now, before the marriage, once the marriage starts, don't stop. Don't stop. When you get what you want, you stop. Don't stop. Let the fun still be there. Continue to go out like you were. To the farms. Go out to eat. At least if throughout the year you won't go out to eat. Not on your wedding anniversary. Listen, everybody. Life is short. During our time, in other words, when I was a growing child, by the time you see an obituary, 102, 103, 97, the minimum age you see will be 80, 81, 82. These days, death has no age limit. Don't wait and say, I wish. Let every day be a day of courtship. Let every day be a day of romance in your relationship and in your marriage. Are you listening to me? My foundation text, Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18. And I'm reading from the NLT, New Living Translation. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing to you. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing to you. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18. Shall we go together? Let your wife
be a fountain of blessing to you.
The Bible says that rejoice in the wife of thy youth. Am I still a youth? No, I'm not. I'm not. That's the truth. But the Bible still says that rejoice in the wife of thy youth. In other words, the things you used to do in your youth, continue to do it. Continue with embracing. Continue with the kissing. Continue with the fun. Continue with the romancing. Continue. Don't stop. Number three, don't take your spouse for granted. Don't take your spouse for granted. You are married, yes. You are friends, yes. But don't be too familiar. I would explain. There's one thing I learned very, very early in my relationship. That as I grow in marriage, I also need to grow in the anointing. I need to grow in the promotion. I need to grow in the growth of the career of my spouse. Is somebody listening? In other words, I married my husband on the 6th of September, 1986. On the 6th of September, 1986, he was Brother Ankara. He was an ordinary person. Today, is he the Brother Ankara I used to know since September, 1986? Who is he now? Now he's Apostle General. So as I grow, I need to grow with his status. If I want to look at him with the eye of the Brother Ankara, I will miss it. He goes out and people would Apostle General him. People will papa him. Reverend Derrick calls him Major Prophet. People will Major Prophet him. Some people call him Numue. People will Numue him. Reverend Dackett calls him Chairman. People will Chairman him. When he comes home, he expects the same. So if I want to treat him like we met 30 years ago, I would lose my marriage. And this is what is happening to a lot of marriages today. In the same way, when he met me, I was Sister Rita. Today I'm not Sister Rita. Today I'm Mama Rita. So in other words, if you take him for granted And you take him for the woman she was 30 years ago, or for the man he was 30 years ago, somebody else will come in between you and handle the person in the status he deserves. I was handling a case on Thursday, and another woman has come in between a couple. And according to the gentleman, what the other lady does for him, his wife doesn't do it. Amen. If you were serving him food in a plastic bowl, 30 years down the line, you don't continue to serve him in a plastic bowl. You need to serve him in a better plate, because when he goes out, people will serve him in a china plate. So, what am I saying? Let your respect grow as he grows in his career, as he grows in his anointing. If you are married to a celebrity, let it grow. Let your respect measure on the same level. If we put it on the scale, it must be at par. Number four, respect each other. Respect each other. Give respect and receive back respect. Some people want respect, but they don't give respect. My husband respects me, and I respect him back. My husband has never insulted me before our children, and there's no way I would insult him before his children. He's never called me names before the children. Never would I call him names before the children. Is somebody listening to me? Respect each other in the relationship. What respect do you want? Give to your spouse the kind of respect you want, and let him return to you the respect you accord him, or the respect you accord her. If for nothing, at least respect him as an image of God. If for nothing, remember that your spouse was created in the image and in the glory of God. So see God inside of the person and accord that person that amount of respect. You can't look at God and say, who do you think you are? You can't look at God and say you are useless. You can't look at God and say you are stupid. You can't look at God and say, are you the kind of woman that must be married to? At least, if not for anything, remember that the person has God inside of him, or God inside of her. Number five, stop waiting for your spouse to change. It sounds very silly. Stop waiting for your spouse to change. In other words, in the relationship, in the marriage, do what you are supposed to do as a wife or as a husband. When you enter into a lot of marriages, the man will tell you, I've stopped washing the clothes of the woman. I used to, Mama Rita. I have stopped. I have stopped because she's not changing. I expect her to be like this. And because I have waited so long and she's not changing or he's not changing, I have stopped doing what I have to do. You don't stop. Don't wait for them to change before you do what you are supposed to do. When my husband and I got married, naturally, I used to, not now. The traces will come small, but not too much. I used to be a very messy person, very, very messy person. When I was in school, I can put my books, my clothes, my toiletries, provisions. I can put everything on my bed and still lie on my bed. Until I got married, I used to share a bedroom with my sister. There was always a quarrel between my sister and I because of how messy I was. If you see my sister's part of the bedroom, you see her bed, you see her wardrobe, order, everything is well arranged. If you see my brother's bedroom, our two brothers, when you go into their bedroom, everything was well arranged. Tie is tie, shirt is shirt, trousers, perfume, powder. So my sister would always use something to demarcate my side of the room and her side of the room. When young guys come to me, I remember the first time Reverend Charles came to me and said, "Mama Rita, talk to Mama Rabba. Mama Rabba is too messy. I can't stand it." As her mother was like that. What my husband used to do, if I put my brassiere here, he won't talk. He will take it and put it where it's supposed to be. If I go out on Sunday and I come back and I put my bag here, my bag will be there till the next time I was going out. He would only pick it. He never stopped. Somehow, I don't know how I stopped. When I tell people I am messy, they don't believe me. When you come to my house, my hall is on point. My kitchen on point. My bedroom on point. One time, Mawena was very, very young. I can't remember whether she was in class 4 or class 3. And they were supposed to write an essay, a composition about their house. So she was describing every part of the house. How I have made the house very beautiful with flowers. I have decorated the house. And couples like to come and spend their honeymoons. People like to come and take pictures. When they have wedding, they like to come and take pictures in our house, in our garden, spoke about our hall, spoke about everything. We used to have a hall upstairs. Then she began to describe the hall upstairs. She said, "The hall upstairs has been so messed up by my mother. This is a school composition." The day I read the composition, I told myself, from today, I am changing. So you see, sometimes you don't need to stop what you are doing to change because your spouse is not changing. Trust them, give them time, they will change. Come and see my bedroom today. Everything is where I hang my red bags, where I hang my orange bags, where I hang my black bags, where my shoes, where I keep my white shoes, where everything well arranged, where I put my panties, where I put my brassieres, where I put my underskirts, where everything is well arranged. I didn't used to be like that. Is somebody listening? Because these things are bringing problems almost every time. Recently, I handled one case. I said, "I'm the wrong person to handle your case when it comes to being messy." I said, "If you come from work and the kitchen is messy, just do it. If you do it 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, trust me, we have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will whisper to her, but you two, what is wrong with you? You need deliverance. Deliver yourself." Are the young ladies here listening to me? And the young men who are messy, are you listening? You can be like me, but don't take my messy part, because I have changed. I have changed my mind. Number 6, it is not your money, but our money. It is not your money, but our money. Money is dividing a lot of couples today. If you have been able to marry me, it means that you have entrusted your life into my hands. Do you understand that? If you sleep with me the whole night and you have faith that you won't wake up dead because I might have stabbed you. If you can eat my food and you have the faith that I won't put poison inside, why can't you entrust money in my hands? Is somebody listening? There is nothing like mommy's money and there's nothing like daddy's money. There's nothing like my money and your money. It is our money. I can say to the glory of God, 30 years in marriage, my husband and I have never quarreled over money. He's never borrowed me money, and I have never borrowed him money. People come to me and they are quarreling. Mama Rita, and I borrowed him money and he didn't pay. How can you borrow your husband money? How can you borrow your wife money? The money belongs to the two of us. The only thing is that when it comes to money, you look at the two, husband, wife. Who is better with handling money? Who is better with handling money? In some families, the wife is better with handling money. She's more judicious in, you know, spending than the man. So the woman keeps the money. In some families, the man keeps money better. In my family, everybody knows it, that if I'm the one keeping money, there will be no money for school fees. Because all the money will go into flowers and flower pots. My children know it, that when it comes to money, my husband is A1. He's good with keeping the family money. Anytime I see Bishop Alote, I tell him, Bishop, as for you, God knows. And we didn't marry. If we had married, every term our children will be sacked for school fees. Bishop can shop. Bishop Alote can enter into a shop and buy 20 pairs of shoes. He will tell you, when he was walking barefooted, where were you? When he had to borrow people's shoes to go to Aquinas, where were you? He will tell you, allow me to wear my shoes. Meanwhile, Mama Naomi will enter into a shop and not know what to buy. I said, when he's going, follow him. When he picks, you pick. When he picks, you pick. When he picks, you pick. Are you listening to me? Between Reverend Darkith and Mama Nandi, it's Mama Nandi that keeps money. Because Mama Nandi is good, we keep him. Hey, the family money, Mama Nandi is A1. Reverend Darkith will shop. Between Reverend Charles and Mama Rabbi, I don't know, but Reverend Charles can shop. I haven't seen a man go to America and come back with 8 bags. So it's always good to look at the two. Who is better with keeping money? Are you listening? Our taste is not the same. Our preference is not the same. Between the man and the woman, what the man sees as unimportant, the woman sees it as important. And sometimes, what the man sees as important, the woman doesn't see as important. So between the couple, if it's the man that is keeping the money, if you don't want trouble in the house, make sure that apart from the money for food and electricity and whatnot, either weekly or monthly, you are giving to your wife unaccounted interest. Unaccounted interest is the one you give to her and you say, as for this one, you don't need to account. This one is for your hair. This one is for your nails. This one is for whatever you want to use it for. If I don't use it, it is mine. My husband, So the money I gave you, how much is left? And immediately he starts, I start laughing. Oh, I just want to know if it's finished, so I add more. And I know that's not it. He wants to know whether I didn't use it well. I said, you gave to me to spend. Are the young men listening? Are you learning something? This is with women. We like to keep money. We like to buy. If it's finished, it's finished. In other words, at the end of the month, when I have brought my salary and you have brought your salary, after you take out school fees and rent and electricity and all those things, there should be money to save. There are rainy days and there are sunny days. You should always save. And then since men don't shop too much, give to the woman something she can also keep. So she won't have to come to you for her hair. She won't have to come to you for her nails. Are you learning something? Number 7, don't marry someone you don't like and respect. I didn't talk about love. I said like. Don't marry somebody you don't love and respect. A lot of young people come into my office. Oh, mommy, why do you want to get married? We are getting married because we love each other. I always say that sometimes and most often, what we define as love is actually not love. You are loving her because of her figure. You are loving her because she's slim. You are loving her because she's fair. You are loving her because of her hair. The woman is loving you because of your anointing. She's loving you because of your worship. She's loving you the way you lead praises. She's loving you because of the way you lead prayer. And young couples forget that after the marriage, when you go home, you are not marrying prayer. You are not marrying worship. You are not marrying praises. You are not marrying the way he talks. She won't always be looking good. When she's pregnant, if you are like me, you will get ugly. When I'm pregnant, I'm very ugly. I get very dark. I get fat. My nose is double the size. My lips are, oh my God. So if my husband married me because of the way I was, during the period when I'm pregnant, the love graph will go down. But if he likes me for who I am, if he respects me for who I am, the marriage will still stand. Are you listening? Don't marry only because of love. Marry because you like the person. Marry because you respect the person. Number 8, you need somebody with a sense of humor. You need somebody with a sense of humor. Life can be very stressful. Sometimes life can be very boring. At the end of a long, hard day, when you go home, you need somebody that will make you laugh. When you crack a joke, you need somebody who can appreciate your jokes. I learned something in counseling, that everybody needs somebody you can offload to. At the end of the day, if you go home, do you have somebody to offload to? I handled the case. The gentleman said, mommy, when my wife is talking to people on phone, I see the way she's laughing. I see the way she's cracking jokes. I see the way she's smiling. And when she comes to me, she doesn't do the same. The wife said, anytime I come, you have a stern face. I don't know how to say this in English. Ojojo me, enyafio me. I want to give you a hug. It's okay, it's okay. When they came, after the man had narrated his case, I looked at him and said, oh, he ahunto. If you are married to a man or a woman like that, you are in trouble. Where I am talking to you, I have to select my words very well. If I'm chatting, I have to calculate everything in my head before it comes out. You make one statement, he says you don't respect. Blessed are you if you are not married. Choose wisely. Tell somebody who is not married here that choose wisely. So you need somebody with a sense of humor. Somebody who is a bit like you, can understand it when you are cracking a joke, can laugh with you. You should see my husband and I laugh over silly things. When he does, I say, hey, the way your church members respect you. And they think you are an angel, apostle general. In my house, we are free to do these things. I shouldn't go and hide in the toilet to do it. Then it's not marriage. Listen to this point very well. Listen to this point very well. Be responsible parents, but don't make your children the focus of your marriage. Be responsible parents, but don't make your children the focus of your marriage. Mama Faye tells me in South Africa, the divorce rate after 20 years of marriage is very high. Very, very high. Why? Because the center of the woman's life is the children. They drop them in school in the morning. Some parents, when they drop, they don't go home. They are in the school. In Mawene School, GIS, they go for school trips. And sometimes they go to Kumasi, Takoradi, Cape Coast. And some parents will go with the school. And high hotels around where the children will stay. And I keep asking myself, do these parents have something to do? Sometimes they are going to Kumasi in a bus. Some mothers will sit in their car, drive to Insawom and be crying to Insawom and go. They are there for their piano lessons. They are there for their football games. And I hear you should see them in South Africa when they take their lunch. Not major football, just friendly football in school, break time football. They are sitting down. Go on, Charles. Go on, Charles. Hit harder. One time, Luvuno traveled to UK. I hear Luvuno cried until Mama Faith had to buy a ticket because all the parents went with them to UK. Followed the children to UK. And it was a school game. And because Luvuno's parents were not there, they didn't put him on to play. Meanwhile, he could play better than a lot of the children. If I had run my life around Papa, I would have been disappointed by now. Papa is married and left. He comes home and I say, Papa, won't you stay? Oh, I'm going to my house. I said, annoying. I said, this place is what? He said, this place is not homely again. I said, my God. Now Papa tells me the TV room is not homely and people are passing in his house. He relaxes and drinks and a bottle of malt and is relaxing watching football. And my house, when he's relaxing, people are passing and going. And I'm telling you, today, a lot of couples are strangers in their own home. Because all the children have left home. And when the children were there, they never built their friendship. Everything was about the children. So now the children are out of the home. And the only communication that goes on, food is ready. Your aunties are in the drawer. I'll be going shopping today. I mean, that is all. No friendship whatsoever. So I'm not saying don't be responsible parents. Be responsible parents. But don't let everything about you, your life, everything be about the children. So that when they go out of home, you won't have a shock. When they go out of home, you won't go through divorce. Number 10, communication. Make time for conversations. It doesn't matter how your busy schedule is. Make time for conversation. Make time for conversations. Baby, now I can come into our room and ask AG and myself, do you people ever sleep? You come to our room at 9 o'clock, we are chatting. 10 o'clock, we are chatting. 12 o'clock, we are chatting. 1 a.m., we are chatting. 2 a.m., we are chatting. The day we say today, we are tired. As of today, we are sleeping early, 2 a.m. Today, we are tired. As of today, we are tired. We must sleep early, 2 a.m. Anytime you come into our room, we are chatting. Make time. And don't start your conversations with a harsh tone. A lot of couples today can't chat. They can't talk. There's no conversation. Because once they start, there'll be a fight. This person says, you didn't talk to me well. This person says, you raised your voice. This person said, don't start a conversation with a harsh tone. Stop the blame game. Number 11, stop the blame game. Stop the blame game. I want you to know that in the relationship, we all make mistakes. The man is about to undertake a project. Talks to you about the project. And then you tell him, I don't feel right about this project. I don't feel it's okay to invest in this business. He doesn't listen to you and he goes ahead. And you lose the money. Please, as a wise woman, don't refer. Don't say, I told you so. Every day he comes home, I said it and you didn't listen. I remember this was before Nanakos went to the university. And we had saved money towards her university because we had said to ourselves she was going to study outside the country. So we had started saving. Then one person came and said we should borrow him money. And he was going to pay the money within a week. I told my husband, let me pray about it. In 3 days, I told him, I don't feel okay. But the person was in the church. And we knew the guy was doing very well in business. I mean, extremely well in business. It doesn't matter the amount that any man of God will call in church. This guy will get up. So my husband thought, oh, it is fine. Let's give him the money. Within a week, he will come and pay. I wasn't happy. But he had to give anyway. We waited 1 week. Waited 2 weeks. Waited 1 month. Now, Nanakos was about to go to school in Canada, and the man hadn't paid the money. Till date, he hasn't paid. He ended up leaving the church. I never referred him. to say, I told you so. I told you, don't give the money. I told you, I didn't feel lucky. I just let it go. What happened was he learned his lessons. Much later, somebody else also came for money. And the money the person was looking for was even bigger than the first one. And the man is loaded. I mean, when we talk about money, the man has money. And I said, oh, let's give to him. We know this guy very well. Oh, he will pay. It's been 10 years he hasn't paid. If I had said to him, I told you so. I told you, if I had said to him, now he would also be referring me. We all make mistakes. When the mistakes come, let it go. It's a bridge for you to learn better. Number 12, love the same recreation together. In other words, fun. Love the same fun together. Love the same fun together. In other words, even if you don't like it, pretend you are liking it. If you want to marry for a long time, you need to love the same things. I am naturally not a TV person. If daddy travels for a month, I can stay for 1 month and never put on the television. I can stay 3 months and not put on television. There's always something I'm doing such that I don't have time for television. And most times I spend all my evenings here. By the time I get home, I'm tired. My children will tell you, the TV stars everybody knows. When you mention their names, I don't know them. When I see them, I don't know them. But in my husband's spare time, he loves to watch these things. Wisdom just tells me, when he's there to watch, I should just go and sit down and watch with him. I'm not a football person. I'm not. But once a while when he's watching, just for, you know, unity's sake, and I just sit down. And then I watch with him. Anytime I watch, he gets angry. Because I even say go when there's no go. And he doesn't have the patience to even show me. It's when Papa is there and Papa will say, oh, this one is this, this one is this, this one is this. If you are married to a man that loves visitation, he's a group leader, he's a pastor, he's what? And he loves visitation. Don't tell yourself, as for me, I don't love visitation. Or as for you are always tired. Make time and go with him. Even if it's not every day. If it's something he does every day, you do it 4 times in a week. And the other days, let him do it alone. Make time together. When he's watching television and you are there with him, it creates communication. It creates oneness. If he's praying and you decide to join him in praying, it fosters unity. One of the cases I handled this week, the man says, Mama Rita, when I'm praying, the woman is sleeping. Says, I love to hear my wife pray. I say, you too, can't you pretend you are praying? At least once a while, pretend you like you are praying small. When he goes out and you see him coming, start. He loves to see it. So even if you are not reading your Bible, go and take it, put it on you. Are you with me? My last but one point. Don't forget the role of sex. Don't forget the role of sex. Now, a lot of couples are divorcing because of sex. Don't make yourself too busy and pretend sex is not part of the marriage. It's part of the marriage. Sex plays 70% of the marriage. Especially when you are young. I see young people come to me, 30 years and below, and they have sex once a month. I said, are you sick? After I did the graph for Kips, I did another one for couples alone. I think it was recorded. At Judah Temple, it was recorded. If you came and I sacked you because you weren't married at the time, now you can go and buy the CD. Please listen to it. I don't do it for a big crowd like this. Because you are not married. I don't want you to go and have sex and blame me for having sex. I don't want you to go and break your virginity. So that one was for couples alone and were for people who were getting married in a month or in 2 weeks, not for people who were even getting married in 3 months. So please don't forget the role of sex. And I always tell couples, there's something I learned before I got married. At the time, I thought it was stupid and it was silly. It was when I grew up that I saw the wisdom in it. In then Calvary Baptist Church, I don't know what they do now, but in Calvary Baptist at the time, it was part of their counseling that you do a timetable for sex. You do a timetable. So between the couple, the lady and the gentleman, you decide which day is suitable for you. If it's every Monday or every Saturday or every Friday or every Sunday, it's an agreement. And an agreement is an agreement. There's nothing like I am tired. So you know that throughout the week, if you don't do it on the agreed date, you do it. Are the young men listening to me? Are the young married women listening to me? When it comes to Christian marriage, there's nothing like I am tired. Once a while, you can be tired. But if 4 times in a month you are tired, trust me, you give room for somebody else to come in between your relationship. Like the couple I said I handled on. According to the man, anytime the woman says, I'm tired. Every time I am tired. Every time I am tired. A marriage of 3 years. The man was forced to go for a girlfriend. My last and I am done. Be born again in your marriage. Be born again in your marriage. When we talk about born again is not just in church. Born again, you practice it also at home. The pastors, we want to see you as pastors at home. In other words, you can't come and stand on the pulpit and preach and talk about good things. And at home, your wife doesn't see you as a born again. One thing I love about my husband, I always say it, and I'll say it everywhere I go to. He's born again at church and born again at home. When you are at church, you are nice to all the sisters. You are nice to all the brothers. You smile to everybody that comes. You go home and your wife asks you a question, and then there's a fight. You are not born again. You must repent. In my dealings with my husband, in my dealings with my children, in my dealings with my household, I try as much as I can to be a born again. God bless you.